we can lose focus of our calling. And I know that we've all gone through that. But I want us to realize that our calling is very real. We had God who sacrificed his son and Jesus Christ, who was willing to sacrifice for this calling. So as we come up on the Passover, you know, every day we should be examining ourselves, not just coming up to the Passover. It's how we're living our lives, but we do focus on recommitting ourselves to God every year at that Passover in remembrance of Jesus Christ. And we're told throughout Scripture that we must not allow Satan to take advantage of us, because that's what he wants to do. Paul tells us that, I'm not going to turn over there, but for reference, 2 Corinthians 2:11. We're warned to be careful, to be alert, to be aware, to not let Satan take advantage of us. And there's so many ways that he can do that. Through talking down about someone else, gossiping about someone else, whether it's true or false, cracking jokes at the expense of others, just the little things. And we come to services, we read the Bible, we hear God's word, and yet some people will say, and maybe we have some doubts, you know, what is God's will? Some say, what is God's will? What is God's will for me? I'm still trying to learn some things. Well, the title of the message I have today is Be Children of God. That's God's will. Be His children. Luke chapter 10, we're going to go through this parable here in just a little bit. You want to turn over there. Luke chapter 10. And how are we putting this statement into practice as a child of God? It's Luke 10, verse 27. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. I think we could say, without a doubt, that this would be one of God's will for us. How do we implement that? Before we get into that parable, let me read John 16, verse 8, because God has called us. He's called us. He's opened our minds to know his ways. Let's read verse 8, John 16, verse 8. And when it, your Bible may say he, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, it's the power of God. And when it has come, it will convict the world of sin. So we are of the world. It's going to convict those of the world, even those that are coming out of the world. God shows us our sins, and we must have that attitude, that desire to say, I don't want to sin. So it's going to convict. And it will also convict of righteousness. It'll show us not only what sin is, it's going to show us what righteousness is. It's going to show us that we need a Savior, that through Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. We know that His law is righteous. And of judgment. We know that there's a judgment time coming for all mankind. But we know that there are some that are called before the great harvest. And then it says this Holy Spirit, God's power, is going to guide us into all truth. Verse 13, he says, however, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you into all truth. So God is going to guide us. He's going to lead us. He's going to show us what his truth is. So back to Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to read that parable, then we'll come back and touch on some of it. And looking at it as for us to be putting it into practice ourselves. How was the Samaritan able to put this into practice? And as we go through this scripture, we'll come back, and it's the same thing Jesus Christ would do as the Samaritan did. It actually lays out the plan of salvation if you go through it. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, we have this certain individual says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And we know that this individual was feeling that he knew more than Jesus. But as we go through this parable, Jesus is still very kind and willing to teach this individual, even with this type of attitude. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus Christ is still going to answer. He said to him, what is written in the law, and what is your reading of it? So he asks him the question. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with your soul and with your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this and you shall live. Do this and you will gain eternal life. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Meaning, who did he not want to have as his neighbor? He wanted to draw a line in the sand. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, and leaving him half dead. In this area, when you traveled, it was known for thieves and robbers hiding along the road. So it was a dangerous road to travel on. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. So two individuals that you would think would be willing to help passed by on the other side of the road, leaving him for dead. So Christ is trying to explain to this individual who his neighbor is. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Compassion. The Samaritan had compassion. Now, the Samaritan was looked down by the Jews. They looked at the Samaritans as an enemy, less important. But the Samaritan had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds. pouring on oil and wine. So he took time, took his own things, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So he picked this individual up, not only after he bandaged, washing his wounds with wine and with oil. You know, you can dig deeper into that with what wine and oil represent Jesus Christ. But he used these things and he bandaged him up. And he set him on his own animal. Here's a man, another man, picked him up, placed him on his animal. And he took him to an inn and took care of him. And on the next day, so he stayed there. And when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? So Jesus Christ lays out a story, a parable of who he is himself and what he represents. Trying to get an individual to visualize that all people, even our enemies, we need to be willing to show love to. And he said, he who showed mercy on him. He who showed mercy. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. We'll come back and touch on some of these things. But we know that Jesus was, he was God in the flesh. He was a man of compassion. When he was on the stake just before he died, he cried out to God, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Stephen had the Holy Spirit. He also cried out as he was being stoned, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do. The world cannot understand this parable. Those who have God's Holy Spirit, it has been revealed to us to be like Christ and to be like this Samaritan. I just want you to jot down some scriptures if you would like. I'm not going to turn to any of these. I'm going to list a handful. We see in Scripture that we're to share our goods with others in need. That's 1 John 3:17-18. To share. If we have these world's goods, whatever they are, and someone's in need, are we willing to share? We also have faith without works is dead. We can have faith, we can believe in God, but if we're not going to put our faith into practice, like Christ is telling the Samaritan or this lawyer about the example of the Samaritan, then our faith is no good. That's James 2:14-17. We also see that we're to pray for those who despitefully use us. Matthew 5:42-44. I know that when we see people in the world and they say, I need to pray for that person. You need to pray for that person. You need to forgive that person. I know, but it's hard. As we heard in the sermonette. It's hard for us. We ask God to help it to be easy. Help it to become who we are. We're to be kind to everyone and not expect anything in return. That's Luke 6:35-36. Let your light so shine among men and give God the glory. Let your truth live God's way of truth in our lives. Among men, the world. And we give God the glory. Matthew 5:16. Do good to all people when there's that opportunity. Do good to all. Galatians 6:9-10. And God says, I remember. I know your works. I know what you do. And I'm not going to forget it. That's Hebrews 6:10. And we know in Matthew 25, when Christ comes back, he's going to judge the nations. And he separates those who are living this way of life that we just talked about, loving God, treating our neighbor as ourself, and those who don't, the sheep and the goats. And we know what happens to the sheep, and we know what happens to the goats. And then 2 Corinthians 9:8, we have faith that God will provide. We know that God will provide all his favor. It'll abound in us if we just put him first. 2 Corinthians 9:8. So let's go back over here. And verse 27 says, you shall love the Lord thy God. It says, you shall. You must. You shall. That's the part of our calling. You shall love the Lord your God. What is love? Well, we know Scripture says God is love. We had that sermon last week. Let's turn over to 1 John. You keep your finger here if you'd like. We're going to come back. 1 John chapter 4. We are to perfect this love. It's supposed to be who we are. And we can't do it on our own. We can know God's law, but without that sacrifice to help us to be love, to humble ourselves, and be willing to change when we see that we're wrong, we can't be love. First John 4:17, we're going to read a few verses. It says, love has been perfected among us in this. So this is how love is perfected among us in this. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We don't have to fear. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So just as Christ was, so are we in this world. What was Christ involved in this world? He was involved in bringing the good news. He was involved in living that good news all the way to the point of death. Verse 18 says, there's no fear in love. No fear. So if we have fear and we're afraid of this virus, we're afraid of whatever, the return of Jesus Christ, and what's going to happen before the return of Jesus Christ, says there's no fear in love. Well, then we're not loving God the way we should be loving God. Because he says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love will cast out fear. This is a requirement in our lives. It says, you shall love God. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us through that sacrifice that God gave and the sacrifice that Jesus Christ was willing to give. And they called us, and we used that sacrifice. Then we can be loved because they first loved us. We can have that Holy Spirit working in us before we're baptized. And then while we're baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit, it's a helper to help us. It shows us what is sin. It shows us what is righteousness. It shows us that there's going to be a judgment, right? Verse 20, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, says he's a liar. So if we show hate to anyone, that's what we can be working on. It's not to show hate. The Samaritan traveled along this road, and there was someone who hated him. Jesus Christ came to this earth. People hated him and killed him. But he was still love. We are to reflect Jesus Christ. We don't want to be a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? So that's one thing that we can be praying to God and asking for help with. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must also love his brother too. That's a requirement. For us to go out of our way to love and serve, if we're not going out of our way to love and serve, then we don't have love. And we can't do it on our own. It will not work. You will have fear because God's not living in us. Let's read the first five verses. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So we believe. We believe that he is, and we do what he says. Because we have God's Holy Spirit. We know that. We're convicted, as we just read earlier in John. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten by him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So these scriptures I read earlier, what we're to do, we need to apply them in our lives. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So we get that through our Savior as we pray to him every day. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. We cannot be involved in the world. We can't let Satan trick us to pick sides, to point the finger. Oh, they should do this differently. They don't know how to do things differently. Yeah, they know how to be nice, but can they do it? We have to overcome Satan's influence. We must have a relationship with God, and so he can have a relationship with us, subject to him, surrendering to him. So then we don't want to have anything to do with Satan. And that's how he flees from us. We don't want him around. Just as Christ rejected Satan and Satan left, that's what we do in our lives too. We want nothing to do with Satan. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. We hear the word and we apply it. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And we do what he says. John 15:14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And then verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. That's what Christ is saying to do. And we also read scripture, that's for the whole world. as well. Go back to Luke. It says, thou shalt love God with, shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. With all thy heart. The core of who we are. Made possible with a relationship with God as we're seeking to be like him. To hear his words and to implement them into our lives. And with his help, we can overcome. We seek to be renewed daily. You know, there's that example in Mark chapter 4, the end of the chapter, 35 through 41. In the Sea of Galilee, a number of boats are put in the water, and they're going to travel across the sea. There's a larger boat and some smaller boats. You go back and read that. Christ goes back to the stern and there's a pillow, grabs a pillow and he goes to sleep. And as they're sailing, remember what happens? A storm comes up. The waves are coming over the boat and the water's coming into the boat. And Jesus Christ is sleeping. The disciples are fearful and afraid they're going to perish, and they wake up Jesus Christ and say, wake up! Aren't you concerned about us that we may perish? Christ stands up, says the words, and the sea is calm. Calm. And they're amazed. They're amazed. They were afraid. They were fearful that they were going to die. And what does Christ say? It's recorded in the Gospels in three places. It talks about their faith. You have little faith. You have no faith. He doesn't scold them, but it's because of your faith. Christ knew what he was commissioned to do. He knew what was going to happen. What is our commission? To give God glory, right? To live his way of life? To put his ways into action? And when we die, we can have boldness at judgment time. They be resurrected in the first resurrection. When we know what we need to do and we're doing it, we can have that confidence. Now, Satan will do everything he can to deceive us, too, to think that we're on the right track and think we have that. And then we go before God's throne. Lord, Lord, I never knew you. You didn't listen to me. You didn't love God with all your heart. You still practice serving yourself. You are breaking my law. You practice lawlessness. I know that with all my heart, 1 Timothy 1:5, let me read. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart. How do we get a pure heart? How do we get a pure core to get rid of the ugliness? To cry out to God, help him to help us see who we are by opening ourselves up and let God search it. Appreciated that sermonette, Mr. Fenwick. We need to be anchored to God, anchored to that ship. We know it's not floating away from us. We know that Jesus Christ had compassion on the multitudes. He fed the multitudes. He cared for the multitudes. He prayed for the multitudes. He told us to pray. Harvest is white for the harvest. With all thy heart, our core of who we are, we need to be changing that daily so we can be like that Samaritan. Who had that core. Didn't matter what people did to him. Didn't matter if people hated him. Same thing with Jesus Christ. Didn't matter. They still served. No matter how dangerous it was. No matter if there's going to be thieves there or not. if they were going to be harmed or not, they still served. Made possible by this sacrifice. Tim goes on to say, so thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. With all thy soul. We are a soul. That's who we are. It's our being. And we make godly choices. Jesus Christ wants us to make godly choices as he shows it to us. We engage to help. That's what the Samaritan did. That's what Jesus Christ does. We know that God desires friendships. He doesn't want us to neglect others. David and Jonathan were like more than brothers. They had a special relationship with each other. We see that in Scripture. Marriage helps us to see the love between a man and a woman, how that type of love that God says that we can have with one another. And if we're not showing that love to one another, as it tells us in 1 Peter 3, that our prayers will be hindered. Jesus Christ says, love one another as I loved you. Very deep meaning. Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. The love that God has for us is the same love he wants us to have for all people. We are to esteem others better than ourselves. We want others to excel. We want them to have the better choice. We want to turn the other cheek. We want to forgive others so our sins can be forgiven. We want to love our enemies. And with all our strength, right? With all our strength. With all our strength. This man picked up this body with all his strength and placed it on his animal. That's all our strength. Took him probably all his strength to lift someone up and get him on the animal. The Samaritan did this. Jesus Christ poured himself out as well. And we know where our strength comes from. Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And we implement that into our lives. And you can add more to this. These are just some things to give us some thought. And then it goes on to say, with all our mind, with all thy mind. Whose mind are we to have? Right? It's the mind of Christ. We're all in. The Samaritan was all in. Jesus Christ was all in. This is who they were. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We are to be a living sacrifice. We live it. We put it into practice. We give of ourselves. And then it says, with all thy and with all thy mind, and then our neighbor as ourself. So who is our neighbor? It's anyone we come into contact with. Again, that Samaritan was in a very dangerous place. He was traveling from one place to another, and he had to go through this road, and there was known thieves along this road. He risked his life by taking time to help this individual, knowing that he could also be robbed and left for dead. But he was willing to give his life for this individual. Isn't that what Jesus Christ did? Isn't that what we are to do? This is what eternal life is. It becomes who we are through that sacrifice that Christ gave us. This person probably, alongside the road, as I talked earlier, despised him, the Samaritan, but he was willing to give up his life to help him anyway. That's what Christ is asking us to do. Don't be afraid to serve. He served his enemy. And I'm not saying for you to go into places and look for that, but pray to God. Ask for guidance. Ask for direction. Ask for his help. Ask for wisdom. This individual restored this individual back to life. Isn't that Christ? What Christ does with us? We're restored. Aren't we to be a light to the world to help restore them in our example, in our life? He went out of his way to help this individual. He used his possessions, and he did not ask to be paid back. Jesus Christ gave of his life, and he has not asked to be paid back. We accept that sacrifice, and we use that sacrifice, and we're redeemed by that sacrifice. This individual went out of his way to care for this man, just like Christ has done for us and all mankind. This individual took this man to an inn, to a place, and stayed with him for the night, and gave money to the innkeeper to make sure he was taken care of until he was fully restored. Christ is doing that with us until we're fully restored to be in that kingdom to our last breath. That's what he died for. He gave what he had and was willing to give more until this individual was restored. Christ does that for us. We need to be willing to do that for each other, to care for each other, to want each other to be in God's kingdom as well. And that's what Jesus Christ is talking about here for eternal life. Hopefully this just gives us a taste and we can dive into it and learn more. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. God wants us to improve from where we're at in our lives to do more, to become more, to come to that maturity in our life, and we continue to be perfected to that sacrifice by implementing that sacrifice into our lives. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, if there is any consolation, if there's any consolation, if there's any seriousness in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, if you have any of this encouragement from Jesus Christ and God the Father, verse 2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love. Through that same love, of one accord, of one mind. Isn't that what we just read in Luke? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Jesus Christ hasn't. The Samaritan hasn't. And we're not to do either. This is what eternal life is about. This is what, when we become eternal, is what we're going to be living, loving and serving. It's going to be fantastic. We're getting a taste of it in our lives now. We're representing God, the Father, and Jesus Christ now in our lives. We're not political. They're going to do what they're going to do. We're not to be of that. God's plan is being worked out. But we are to be in lowliness of mind, and we're to esteem others better than himself. And verse 4, let each of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's who we are to become. That's what we pray to be, right? That's what we can be focusing on as we examine ourselves throughout the year and as we come before the Passover, that this is what we want to be. And that through the sacrifice, as we remember Jesus Christ, this is why he died. We remember why he died. He did it in love. Not rubbing our noses in our sins, but wanting us to be like him so they can give us eternal life. And verse 5, let this mind be in you. same mind the Samaritan had, the same mind Jesus Christ had. Let this mind be in you. Now here we're talking about Jesus Christ. Who, being in the form of God, now he was in the form of God. He had the same nature as God. All right, so here he was in the flesh. Let this mind be in you. He didn't exalt himself and say, I don't need to go through all this. He set us an example, and this is what Jesus Christ did. He came to this earth as God in his glory, had everything, willing to come and serve us and set us an example and for us to follow so that we could be given eternal life and to be like them. Did not consider it robbery. Didn't consider it robbery. And robbery, a robber wants to grab and hold on and take and run. You see them sometimes take a woman's purse and they will not let go. They run. They will not let go. He didn't consider it robbery. He was willing to come down. He was willing to let it go. He wasn't going to hold on tightly to his position with the Father, what he had before, because he was equal with God. To be equal with God, I mean, he was of the same nature, the same quality and quantity, but he's willing to give up that equality with God and to come to this earth. And verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. I mean, again, he put aside who he was. And being equal with God, he emptied himself. He was taking on the form of a bondservant, a slave. One who created. He took on the nature of a slave who created everything and then took on that nature to serve us. And coming in the likeness of men, in other words, he came in the flesh, even though he was God, he was still divine in nature, but he came. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So he was all in, wasn't he? Even to the point of suffering, like that Samaritan along the road, be willing to be banged up, beaten up, and left for dead. That's what Christ did. And he did this voluntarily, just like the Samaritan. I mean, this was planned before the foundation of the world. God had this plan. Their love, and they want us to be loved, and they're showing us that love. First Peter tells us that. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And Peter is talking about, just start in verse 17. He says, and when you call on the Father, who is without partiality, because he judges according to each one's work. So when you and I come before the throne and to be judged, it's, well, yeah, you're this way and okay, and no, we're not going to have, there's no excuses, no partiality with God. We're judged according to each one's work. We don't want to kick God and Jesus Christ out of our core, out of our heart. It says, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. I mean, in other words, to have a relationship with God. He is so supreme. We are so nothing. We fear that he's so powerful. He can make this earth just float in space, and all the other orbit. All the other planets in their orbit. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like gold, silver, or gold from your aimless conduct by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ makes this possible. We're redeemed. He takes away that death penalty. He's willing to put it on himself and then help us to be living a life that he wants to show us, that he set an example of. As a lamb without blemish and without spot, never sinned. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who through him believe in God. Through him we can have a relationship with God. Through him we can pray to God. Who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. So we can love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors, ourselves, as we have a relationship with God. We are to be his children. Let's go back to Philippians real quick. What state is Christ in? He goes back to where he was. But because Christ was obedient to the Father, because Jesus Christ was willing to be obedient to the Father, who wanted to do it, who was all in, who emptied himself to love and serve and give and willing to take on that pain, to take on that suffering, and willing to die, even for his enemies. This is what Scripture tells us. Philippians 2. Verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow, to those in heaven and those on earth, and of all those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Everyone will know the right way, and everyone will have to choose which way to go. But Christ is given that authority because of his obedience to God. He set the example for us to be obedient to our God, to allow God and Jesus Christ to live in us, where they get all the credit and the glory by how we live, because they're in us. Let me read two scriptures, Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, and we are children of God. Spirit bears witness with our soul, with the spirit that God has given us to think, to reason, that we are children of God. So those two mix together. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Suffer with him means no matter what we're going through, no matter what persecutions we're going through, no matter what trials we're going through, we still obey God. God is testing us. Satan is tempting us. No matter what we're going through, we still obey God. My little granddaughter has chicken pox. She's watching today. She's a little irritable because she itches. And she's not happy with chicken pox. She thinks chicken pox are very evil. But we teach her, we help her to say, you know what? Yes, we go through difficulties, but you know what? We still need to be kind to your brother. Still need to listen to your mom and dad, no matter what you go through, right? We're going to go through this and it'll be over with, but we still work on being a good person. And that's what we do in our lives with God's Holy Spirit. If we continue, in conclusion, 1 John 3. If we continue in the following as God's children, this will be our state. And those who are behind us and those who are called before Christ returns, maybe some, some during the tribulation, whoever they are. And we want as many as possible to hear God's word and to respond to it, don't we? And we want to be a part of that in God's kingdom. But this will be our state. 1 John 3, verse 1. We'll read 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. What love, right? That we should be called children of God. Let's not let Satan take that away from us. Let's choose to overcome him. Let's choose righteousness. We know there's a judgment. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Who's God? God is love. Didn't know love, didn't know God. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. We'll be like God. Be resurrected to eternal life. We will be love. Because we are allowing them to live in us, and we're implementing that into our lives now. For we shall see him, we shall see God, we shall see love as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That's what we do through that sacrifice that's been given to us. Our calling is very real, and we must not let Satan take advantage of us. Some may say, well, what is God's will? What is God's will? God says, let's be his children. John 15:14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you.